11:10. In case you haven't noticed, I'm not Professor Tykonovich. My name is Casey, and I'm a TA. This is Kevin. You may or may not decide to help out. He's also a TA. He might be in his lab. All right. So glad to see this place is so populated today. All right, so let's get started. All right, so today we're going to be going over methods. So off the top of our head, who wants to contribute the definition of a method? Bye, Sam. Oh, this is Sam. He's a TA. He's going home for screaming.
What are you all doing here?
Yeah, get out. Oh, my goodness. Class is dismissed.
What is the feeling?
If you want, I mean, I want to go too. Literally, a kid in my lab was like, what are you guys covering? Because I might skip class. And I was like, dude, skip it. I'm such a... Don't do that. All right. So who wants to say what a method is? Yes.
The set of code that you define outside the main method that you can...
Exactly, right? So methods are just a set of functionality. So it's a toolbox, right? For instance, if I'm a person, what's my toolbox? I can slide to the left, and then I can like slide to the right. That might be like a method. I can talk really loudly. That's another method. And so because we all have toolboxes, we can actually assign methods to humans. And so we're going to need 4 volunteers, and Kevin here is going to select the magical 4 if you want to hand these back to the volunteers.
All right, back there, right there.
All right, who are you picking?
You good.
This is you. I need 3 more people. Are you?
Oh, we got back there, too. And then someone in the middle left, raise their hand, too.
It doesn't change, and it's an int, so it's an integer. It deals with
it returns integer
values, and it's call, and then it has the next int function here, and then it says to return the next number on the console and erase it. So it's gonna give the number and then erase it from the program.
Exactly, awesome. So did everyone hear that in the back? Yes, no. Yes? Okay, awesome. And then I forget your name?
Gary.
You want to go over what your name is or what your method is?
Well, my method is erase. It's public static void, so all of Java can use it. It doesn't change, and it doesn't return anything. And all it does is erase the console.
Awesome.
We got a public static void write over here. It's going to write down a number on the console.
And last but not least...
Hunter, and I currently have a public static int method for adding. I have got 2 variables and we return the 2 variables added together.
Awesome. Alright, so we're going to take a look at this board and pretend that this board is our input and our output. So here, should I write on this board so people see it?
There's lights on the left.
Oh, technology! So this one's the console, and then what was the other one?
Main memory.
Gosh, that's crazy. Just take pictures of
it. All right, so just to recap, what we have been doing, I'm just going to go ahead and write your guys' methods up there so everyone in the back can remember what you did. So we have a method public static int add, which takes an int a and an int b. All right, if I'm talking too fast, by the way, yell at me and I'll slow down. I tendency to go forever. And this will return A plus B. Alright, we also have a public static void main. No, just kidding. Right in A, and what this does is it writes the number on the console. We also have a public static void. No, public it, sorry.
It should be static.
Public static it.
Yeah.
Public static it next in. And this returns the next number on the console and also erases it. And then we have lastly public static void erase, and this erases the console. Okay, awesome. So looking at this code right now, does anyone want to tell me why I've read through the line under next it on Eclipse? Exactly. So right now I just say what it does. I've actually coded it. We're going to kind of ignore it for now and pretend I have actual code. So the reason why it's a red squiggly line right here is because I have an int return type, but I haven't returned anything. So if I said like return 0, which is an int, it'll get rid of that for me. But I don't really care about that for now. And I will go ahead and spell returns correctly. Wow, I really butchered that. Okay. So now we're going to start calling some of these methods, all right? And I'm just going to create it in here. Public static.
Oh, sure.
Void main. String bracket args.
Yeah, you're going to do stuff soon.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. You guys, now we're going to start using your functionalities. Okay.
Okay. Great.
So if I'm going to go ahead and say if x is equal to volunteers.add23, what happens? Okay, who is the add function here? All right, go ahead and tell me.
Okay, so we have volunteers.add.
Okay. Please keep your hands and feet within your seat at all times, and please don't flash off.
Okay. I'm going to be adding 2 and 3.
Yes, and that will give me?
By
the function, right?
I'm guessing it's an eval.
It's a test.
Awesome. So ignore it. If there's going to be syntax errors here, we're going to forget about that for now. We'll put some other things. So we have 5 now. Where is that stored? Is it printed to the console or is it stored in main memory?
Main memory.
All right, so we want to go ahead and write what's stored actually in main memory. Man, you didn't know you signed up for when you volunteered.
You're so scared.
There are no wrong answers. In his head, theoretically, and return to us a number that we stored in main memory. Does that make sense, that method invocation? Awesome. So now if I were to go ahead and say int z is equal to volunteer.add, what are you going to do? If I write this right here.
Nothing. I don't have any inputs.
Exactly. So right up here, we're expecting to get 2 parameter inputs, right? And since I actually supplied 0, he's like, dude, you're doing it wrong. You didn't like follow the rules, and now I'm going to crash and burn, and the program's going to die if you try to run it. So, awesome. Yay!
That's not it, though. There you go.
Alright, I think that's it for ACT. So thank you for participating. And now we're going to...
It's not it for ACT.
Oh, that's not it for ACT. No. Just kidding. You still need you.
Oh, no, I'm never.
Alright, so now if I say volunteers.write7, or volunteer.write7, what's going to happen? So, okay, before we shout it out, someone from the audience, do we have any ideas of what's going to happen right now? Who's the write function? You are?
I'm a
race. Oh, okay.
I
Voluntary.write7, and we call this. Yes?
It's going to write the integer 7 on the console?
Exactly, right? So it's going to take in an integer and it's going to write the number on the console. So you want to go ahead and do that? Yes. So I'm supplying the number 7. If I had like a number 7, I might not be giving it to you. And you're taking that number 7. Awesome. Were you gonna write it?
Yeah, write it to me.
Awesome, they do it right. Yes, no.
Yeah.
Yay! So you chose the number 7 and you wrote it on the board. Did he return anything back to me?
No.
I'm just standing here with nothing in my hand, so no, he didn't. He just completed an action, and that's what a void method is. Yes.
Why don't you
even system.out? Theoretically, that's what we would be doing, right? If we actually wrote the code for it, I would say something like system.out.println A, right? But in this case, we're just writing what say what we're doing, we're not actually writing code, right? Alright. So now if I go ahead and I say int y is equal to volunteers.volunteer.write3, what's going to happen? I'm going to give you a 3.
Can I ask a friend?
Sure. Go to a friend, call the audience.
You're right there with me. What do you think?
Okay, so. Well, it's not going to return anything, so why, I guess.
That doesn't work. There's the void method.
Exactly. So because it's a void method, I'm saying I'm expecting something back to end to store into main memory. So what this is saying here is expecting you to write something and then give me back something. And I'm going to take whatever you give me back and put it into main memory. But because you don't actually return anything, exactly. That's why it has a red truly live right now on Eclipse, because that line of code won't work. It'll break the program. We won't die, and bad things will happen. Awesome. Nice call. So let's go on and try. So if I want to fix this line of code, what should I do? If I want to write 3.
We need to tell it to print y. Because we just declared it and it gives us this.
Alright, so that's one solution, right? We could definitely just say if y is equal to 3, and I can call voluntary.write3 and or y. And that's going to print out whatever is y, which is 3, and print that out. Does that make sense? So I can also do that? Alright, cool beans. Okay, so now if I want to say x is equal to volunteer.add x volunteer.nextInt, what is going to happen? So who is on call right now? That's you, and that's you. Alright, so what's going to happen? Who gets called first?
All right,
we have a conflict here. For people who think that add gets called first, raise your hand. All right, thank you. Brave souls. Who thinks next thing gets called first? You raise your hand for both.
What? No, I didn't.
Oh, gosh.
You raised your hand for the first one.
Exactly. So what happens is, in order to call volunteer.add, we need to give them two variables, right? So whatever is the innermost item gets called first. So in this case, next int actually gets called first. So next int, if you want to step up, what do you do?
Why don't
we,
there's no number in the next int. It sets up the...
Well, what
does
next int do?
Next int returns an int. It doesn't happen. There's no...
Sorry? Well, volunteer.add, so remember x right now in memory is 5. We did the volunteer.add to do the calculation for us, right? And now that's gone. All we have in memory right now is 5, so x is currently 5.
console and also erase it, I will return 5 on the console and then erase it from memory.
Well, do we do anything with main memory in here?
No.
No.
There's no main header.
Or more specifically, it doesn't say anything about main memory.
It doesn't say anything.
For the next number on the console, which is this thing.
Right.
Right? So what number are we turning?
5.
Wait, depends.
That's X, and that's the main memory.
Are you going by the code there?
It's what's written on the console right now? What's written on the console right now?
Written on the
console.
There's nothing written. Oh, 7's written
on the console. So it'll return 7.
It'll return 7. It doesn't write anything on the console, does it?
Yeah,
but 7 does. But 3 is now also in the console.
It returns this, right? So where are we returning on 7 right here?
The next
thing. Yes, exactly. So, or not the next thing.
Sure, where do you think you're going?
Right?
Gary Cho.
So what happens is you take the 7, we read in the thing that says return the next number on the console and also erase it. So here's an eraser. You take the 7, you give it to him.
Next
adds it, right? And then we erase it. Cool beans. And now he has the 7 that we're working with, right?
7.
And the new one will be 12.
And now what happens? Exactly. So now take the 7 that next thing returned, and then we add X to it, which is in memory 5, and then 7 plus 5 is equal to 12. I was going to say 13. I can't do math. But now X is now equal to 12 in memory. So we kind of just ignore all of this in here. And we just know that X is equal to 12. We've forgotten everything in between. We've forgotten that X equals 5. We've forgotten math. All of you know right now is that it equals 12. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
How did the next thing get it from the console again?
Sorry?
How did the next thing get it from the console again?
All right, so the question was, how does next thing get it from the console? That's just how we said it was implemented. We didn't actually write the code in here, right? So theoretically, I would be writing some code in here that reads something from the console and then erases it. But we didn't actually just, we didn't implement it, so just say that that's what it was. So, suspense, disbelief, something along those lines. Okay. So, now if I want to say volunteer.erase, what happens? Is that the right answer? Let me check.
Yeah, he's right.
Because if something in the console, well, it depends on what you're talking about. Because, well, hold on. So on your code up here, you put 3 in there.
Yes.
So realistically, it should have been add 5 and 3, which would have given you 8. And then erase, that would have erased because the 7 would have been there. But you didn't put the 3 in there, so you just erased the 7, which means that there's nothing in the console now.
Exactly. So we're going to put that hard code right here. So if I didn't have this thing, right?
Okay.
Then there's nothing in the console for him to erase. He's going to come up, though, and erase the blank board anyways, because we told him to.
Oh, Gary. Silly Gary.
And he feels sad for being useless. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah.
But if we did have this line of code in here, right, and we did have a 3 on the board, then that 3 would be erased. Does that kind of make sense for everyone?
Next,
does
next
get you
the last hint or the first?
It gets the first one, I'm assuming, in this case. It depends on how
it's done. But there would be an integer.
There would be an integer for your
race.
Yes, and you could do it. All right, so that's about it we have for this exercise. Can we get a round of applause?
No, you can throw them out.
Oh, do you guys want to keep these?
No, no,
only if I could, like,
really
test.
Have you seen
them?
I'm not sure how much it would help you on
test. Do we get some vegetables
set them on fire?
If you have to,
Big Dick Casey.
Big Dick Casey?
Big Dick Casey.
He wants some.
Oh, okay. Congratulations. Let's thank Kevin for having written up the poster boards and even color coding them with purple.
That's okay.
He's embarrassed. half an hour left. If you guys have any questions about methods and how they work, we're just going to keep going through a few more examples. Without the activity up here. No questions. Oh, yes.
What's void again?
Void is an action. So remember on the when I was doing things, right, up here? And I was expecting, for instance, next if to give me an item, right? So I was like, okay, go to the console, find whatever you have, the number there, and give it to me, right? That returns an if. But if there's just an action being taken, right, for instance, volunteer.erase, that's just taking something and erasing it. It doesn't actually give me anything back. It's just doing something. So, for instance, if I want to extrapolate this into, like, what we can do as humans, right? Walking, that would be a void method. That's an action being taken. Doing homework, that would be that would turn a homework assignment, theoretically. This is very contrived. I'm sorry, this is a bad example. But do you kind of get the idea about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so something to note about this is there are some methods that don't return anything and don't take in any parameters, such as this one here. Volunteer.erase, it takes in zero parameters and it returns nothing, so we can just call it and it does something. This is kind of like what you guys should have done in lab with print menu, when you just call print menu and it didn't take in any parameters, just printed things out and that's all it did. So that's what a void method does. It doesn't action, doesn't return anything else. Does that make sense? All right. So, yeah. Did you have a question in the back?
Yeah. I'm just a little confused on the flow of the method, the program under the very last bottom part, like where you have x volunteer dot add x volunteer next kids, get y plus 3, volunteer by y. If you ran the program, what would it print out, or what values would the program be adding?
All right, so what would happen right now is it would say, if I were just to run through what I have up here, I would first say that x is equal to volunteer dot add 2 and 3. Volunteer.add takes the two numbers, 2 and 3, adds them together, I get 5. I'm going to take that 5 and store it as x in my main memory. So x is equal to 5. Next line of code in C is equal to volunteer.add. Okay, what did you put that one down? This will work. Alright, then I'm going to say write 7 to the console. Alright, so I come over here and I write 7 onto the console. And then I say x is equal to volunteer dot add x volunteer dot next in. Remember we start at the innermost first, so that's when the first gets called, right? We work from our inside to out. And then so volunteer dot next in is going to take the 7 and pull it off. So now it's going to erase the 7, but it has, if I could take it off, I would have like a 7 in my hands right now, right? And it gives it to the volunteer dot add method. The volunteer dot add method now has two numbers. It has x, which is the main memory, and 7, which is passed in from next in. It takes those two numbers, 5 and 7, adds them together, it's 12. What does it do with this number 12? It stores into main memory, right? It returns 12, and then this cholestatic void main method takes the 12 and stores it into x. So x actually already exists in here, right? But because we're overwriting it, we just erase the 5 and erase the 12. And then in this example, it says y is equal to 3. So we add y equal to 3 in here.
Thank you.
I don't know. See, I have to break. And then we're going to take volunteer.break y. So we're going to pass in the y is equal to 3. Write it up here. So now 3 is equal to the console. Then we say volunteer.erase. That method to the tickets eraser, and we are all done. Kind of see how that worked there? Alright, awesome. Good question. Anything else about this activity?
Nope.
Okay. That's cool. Alright, so let's just go over some of the other methods that we can do. Alright, so I'm just going to create a new class. Oh man. How do you name it? Random method. That work? Alright, who wins? Alright, so if I have a method called find biggest, right? That takes in a list, right? And it's going to, how am I going to format this header? Any takers? public, static, and what's it going to return? Okay, so if I want this method to return the biggest number in here, and if I give it a list, right, of doubles, I want to find the biggest value in this list, what am I returning? A double, right? Does that make sense to everyone? Why would this be a double and not a void method or a list? Got it? Cool beans. All right. Oh, man. All right. Okay, I'm going to need another volunteer for this. I should have read this before. I need another volunteer for this. All right, anyone not in the front row? Nobody? Time to be excited. Get some exercise before spring break happens and you just sit on your butt all day. No? All right, so Monica, if you want to come on.
Dictator Casey.
Can you
all
right. Just... Dictator what?
All right, so I'm going to...
You're pretty honest.
I'm going to give you a bunch of numbers and you can remember which one's the biggest and give it back to me. All right, so I'm just going to shoot a bunch of numbers. I'm going to give you a list of numbers. All right, so 6, 8, 22, 14.3, 198.6, 2, negative 5, and 12. What was the biggest number? Was she right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. All right, thank you. You can go sit down. How do you do it before you go sit down? What was your algorithm for remembering this?
So I have a variable called max, which stores the max value, and if there's a number that is bigger than that number, then I replace that max value with that number.
Exactly. So she has a temporary max value that keeps track of the biggest one so far, right? And then if she finds something that's bigger than her current biggest one, then she's going to replace it. So you guys should know does this sound familiar? Done it in like 1 or 2 or 3,000 homeworks already? Yes? All right. Let's give a hand for Monica. This is the saddest class for Okay, so who wants to help me code this? Nobody. Oh, I totally understand. I hate. Oh, you want to help code this? All right, come up here. You have the floor. Come up. What's your name?
Abhishek.
Yeah. Okay, awesome.
Awesome. So I get a double array. Should I create a for loop?
Exactly, right? You want a for loop? And we wanted to go from what index to what index?
0 to length.
Exactly, the length of the array. So we're going to go through every single one. Sounds good.
And let's store the first value as max and then keep and then add like a wait.
No, sounds good. Keep going. You have a working algorithm or something. Take whatever the index I and store it into max. Right now it's always doing that. Do we want that to happen to be true?
Yeah.
Alright, so under what condition? Which sounds like a if statement.
If I is equal to zero.
Okay, awesome. So if I is equal to zero, we're gonna store the first value in. So we're initializing max to be whatever the first value is. This is one good technique you can approach to use this. Later on we'll consider other techniques you can use.
List at I, right? If max is smaller than list I,
Awesome, looks good. So what we're doing right now is we have this main memory and we're just replacing things to keep track of what's the biggest number so far. And is that it? We still have a red blue line. How do you just keep the red blue line? So the idea here with Java is saying that max might not be initialized, right? That's why the red to blue line under max. And it's saying that because we initialize or we declare max at the very top before the for loop, but we only ever initialize it in if statements, we can't really call max and see what the value is in there because it might not be stored in there. So what we do at the very beginning is we have some value max, and we write max down. We don't set it equal to anything. So we try to do comparison. It might not be the case in which in which I can do a comparison because there's no value stored in max. Awesome, so that's one way to approach it, yes. And now there's one more red to blue line that we did up front. Yes. Looks good. Is that right? Does that code work? Does anyone come up with yes? All right, so the whole list was negative numbers. You just stole my test case right out of my mouth. Congratulations. If I had candy, I'd throw it at you right now. So would this algorithm work if this whole test case, if I gave a list of all negative numbers, like negative 5 and negative 3?
Yes.
Why would it?
Because if I equal 0, max equals 5.
Exactly.
So then it'll go to the first value.
Exactly. So what you just said was saying we basically always initialize it to the very first one, right? So at list I, right, we always initialize it to be that value. So some element will be in the list, and if everything else is smaller than that, that was a bad explanation. All right. So we're always initializing to the first element. So if everything's smaller than that, then we have the max already. We're not comparing to some element that doesn't exist in the array, and those zeros are placeholder. Thank you so much. If I had candy, I would give it to you too. I think I'll bring it. Sorry. Another alternative, instead of just having placeholder 0, this code totally works. We could also just say max is equal to list 0, okay, up here, and not, we don't need this if statement over here. You can get rid of it that way. This is also a working approach. There is one check test case that you might want to check for your homeworks, but you might not need to check for the exams, so we won't worry about this too much, is what if I pass in an empty list, right? So if list.length, oh, I need parentheses in Java. If list.length is less than 1, right? What am I going to do? Return status. Does that work?
Oh, you can't.
No, I can't return. All right, well, we're just going to assume that's always something in the list. But that is something, if you want to go further into CS, think about what happens in these edge cases in which I get nothing in there. All right, another way I want to approach this is if instead of just initializing to 0, which works perfectly well, is to initialize it at the minimum possible number. And that is,
You can do double dot max value times negative 1.
Alright, so this is also an alternative we can use. Instead of initializing the first value in the list, is saying double max equals double dot max value times negative 1. Because remember, have you guys learned about how big a double is? How many bytes is it?
8 bytes.
It's 16 bits? Wait, no. 16 bytes. Dude, I forget this. Wow, I'm a bad person.
It's 64.
64 bits?
Bytes. 64 bits.
All right, it's 64 bits, right? Which means if you hold 64 bits of data, which is 2 to the 64 minus 1?
Whoa. Just don't get into detail about that.
So basically, it holds a finite length of a size, right? So the max value is just saying, give me the biggest value that the double can hold. If I multiply by negative 1, that's going to give me the smallest value that a double can hold. And that means automatically anything will be bigger than that. So hopefully, unless this list is entirely made of the minimum values that a double can hold, then in which case you'll just return the minimum value. Otherwise, it will be overwritten. Does this alternative also make sense? Okay, so I'm getting some shakes of the head. So basically, we want to make sure if I had something like this, right? If I said double max is equal to zero.
You hit insert.
Yeah. Thank you. If I said double max equal to zero, why does this code not work? We went over a test case earlier that this would fail for. Yeah, so exactly. If I had a list of all negative numbers, right? If I said negative 5 and negative 10, it's going to start out max equal to 0. It's going to look at, let me write the list over here. I'm going to look at negative 5 and compare max to negative 5. And 0 is greater than negative 5, so the max is not overwritten. Now I'm going to look at negative 10, which is at my second index. And I'm going to compare 0 to negative 10. 0 is greater than negative 10, so 0 is not going to be overwritten. Then I exit out my for loop, I return 0, and that's a problem because 0 is not actually in my list, so 0 is not actually the proper answer, because the proper answer should be negative 5, right? So this means I can't use 0 because it can be bigger than some elements in my list, and if it's bigger than all the elements in my list, then I'm going to get the wrong answer. Does that make sense? Okay, so what I need to do is I need to find a value that's definitely going to be smaller than all the values in my list. And what's the smallest possible value a double can hold is what we just had up here. Double dot max value times negative 1. It's taking the biggest value a double can hold, inverting it so it's negative, and that's going to give me the smallest value a double can hold, which means everything will always be bigger than that. So I won't run into that case where I had 0 and like negative values, right? Because I would still have a problem if I said, oh, if double max is equal to negative 1, then I'm still going to get negative 1 as an answer, and that's going to be incorrect. If I choose the smallest possible value that I can have, which in CX is never negative infinity because we have like finite numbers, it's going to be in this case double max value times negative. Are you good on that front? Cool. All right, so let's get through one more method. All right, so now we have a method called scale max to 1. And the goal of this method is to scale the values in the list so the biggest value is 1. So if I had a list, like, for instance, one and two, who can tell me what the actual result of this algorithm should be? If I were to scale the biggest number in this list to 1 and scale everything down to 3. Exactly. So I would return a list that would be 0.5 and 1. So I'm taking the 2, scaling it down to 1, taking the 1, scaling it down by 2, and that gives me 0.5. Does that make sense, what we're trying to do here?
Awesome.
All right, so if I'm going to go ahead and write the header for this, what's my header going to be? Public static, what's my return type? Double. Double array, awesome. Why are we returning a double array this time? We're returning a list, right? Not just one element in the list, but an entire list. So we need to specify that by having the brackets in here. Also, so how would we, oh, this would be one approach to it. We could also make this a void method if we wanted to. And how would that work? How can we achieve the same effect if this is a void method? Sorry? Or, well, I want to modify a list. I want to have a list in the end, right? But if I don't want to return a list, what list do I have to change? there's only one list in this method so far. So if I want a list. I would have to modify the list in place. So what happens, what does that mean? So I'm given a list, so someone comes over and he hands me like a list of numbers, right? Rather than making a copy of the numbers and returning it, I can just take the numbers and just modify it. And then when he already has a copy of that, that list, I don't have to return anything to him. So I'm just coming in, moving the numbers around, changing the numbers, and he already has that list. So in another explanation, have you guys ever reference, pass my reference, pass my value.
Yeah, sure.
Pass them. Huh? I'm not sure. Have you guys pass my reference, pass my value? All right. That is a topic that I haven't quite reached yet. But the idea is that when I pass in a double list, right, I'm actually passing in the object in memory. So, what's my list called? It's called list. Oh, fancy name. Okay, so if I pass a list like this, right, and let's say it's equal to 1, 2, this list is in memory. So I'm giving it this wherever this location is in memory, right, and I'm saying, okay, I'm giving you this list, so when I'm a method and I come in, I can just go to main memory, do what I want with this, turn this into a 1/2, turn this into a 1, and I step aside. And now when the other program comes in, other part of the program comes in, like the main method or something, and it goes to modify the list again, it's going to be 1/2 of 1. Because I modified what was in memory. Does that make sense? So I don't necessarily need to return anything. To return something that works as implementation, but this way also works. Yes?
So would you initialize the
Yeah, so you can't communicate between methods except for what's passing parameters and what's returned, right? But because I'm passing in a point in memory, right, and I can go ahead and modify what's in memory, right, then I've actually modified the memory. So any other program that tries to use that variable in memory will get the modified version that I created. Does that make sense? Did that answer your question? I might not have answered that at all. Okay. Cool. So let's just go through an idea of how we can approach this algorithm. What's the first thing we need to know if we want to be able to scale everything down to 1? We need to know the max value, which is conveniently already written. Awesome. So if I say int max, how do I call this method? Find biggest. And I pass in list. All right. Does this line of code make sense? Why is it giving me an error? Double. My bad. Does this make sense? How I did this right here, I just take the list, I pass it in. This method is now going to find whatever the max value is and return it to me. And now I have it. And now if I want to scale everything down to down to 1, what's my next step? Awesome, so I can just go ahead and divide every element by the max value. Does that make sense? All right, let's try running this program. So if I create a main method, public static void main string args. All right, so I created some double list equal to 1, 5, 5.5.
Curly braces.
Oh, you were so right. Thank you.
Yep.
And I want to scale max to 1. So let me go ahead and create a method that prints out everything in an array.
Oh.
No.
Do you know how to fix that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see the Chinese in the bottom? Yeah.
Let's check my... So let me go ahead and print array, my list, and then I'm going to go ahead and scale max to 1. And theoretically, if we program this right, then everything will be scaled down by 5.5. And if not, then I'll be really embarrassed. All right, so we're going to go ahead, and I have an error here. I need a semicolon. Proceed. All right. So the beautiful thing about my current test case is that it's really hard to double check to see if this is right. So I'm going to go ahead and do the example I had on the board, which is 1 and 2, and that should give me back 0.5 and 1 if we run it right. All right, so it did. Yay, I can keep my job. So does that make sense to everyone how that worked? Yes, how we modified and placed in memory, so that means the main memory, when it accesses the list element, it still changes, even though I'm not returning anything necessarily. Yes? Awesome. So it's about time for you guys to go out. Thanks for coming to class. You guys are all really awesome students. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me afterwards. Or have a good spring break.